Down at George's Bible, and his cover says, "And they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength." And I'm telling you, that is exactly the experience I went through. I'm just thankful he loves me. And that's the same love wherewith I want to love. And if I didn't have, we have to learn these things. And you'll think maybe you got it in one circumstance, but then something else happens. But I'll tell you, when it comes to God's word, that's a treasure in my heart. And it was given to me by the Lord. And when someone comes in and tries, it's like a mother with her children, try to come and get it, try to attack one of them and see what happens. Well, it's like, that's how I feel with the grace of God and the word that he's given me. But I don't want to become proud and say that, well, look what he's given me. It's like to be humble before the Almighty God. And I know he led me to do this song. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me, and he made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls, 'cause he touched me. Oh yes, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me, and he made me whole. And if I want to be whole and perfect and complete in him, I must take the whole counsel of God.
Well, I continue to rejoice that we do know that he has touched us. It has been real and living and wonderful. Praise God. Let's turn this afternoon to the fourth chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And I want to enlarge this afternoon for just a little bit on liberty. Before we go into that, this verse informs us of a 5-point ministry that was given to Jesus. This happened after his trip to the wilderness, where he battled against Satan. Then he went to Nazareth, and this verse actually marks the beginning of his public ministry. He knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly why he had come. And so there are 5 glorious purposes that are mentioned here. Number 1 is to preach the gospel to the poor. That really means that only the poor will receive such a gospel. Others simply reject it. This is why it is good to be poor in our own self, in order that we be open, that we be receptive to the message. And so, number 1 is to preach the gospel to the poor. Number 2, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Number 3, to preach deliverance to the captives. Number 4, recovering of sight to the blind. And number 5, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, I want to say at the outset here, to preach the gospel to the poor is the basis for all the others. Everything else that we read here in this verse is a direct result of the fact that Jesus was sent to preach the gospel. All of these have their answer in the gospel. He has placed his word above his name. We have uttered that scripture quite a number of times from Psalm 138:2. I'll worship toward thy holy temple. I'll praise thy name for your loving kindness and your truth. And that's because you've magnified your word even above all your name. And so Jesus followed exactly that same pattern. Now remember that when Jesus said this, he is speaking as a man. He came into this world as a man, and so as we have seen so many times before, he had to abide by all of the requirements, and he had to abide by all of the restrictions and everything else that was applied to man. And of course, he did just exactly that. Now, as I say, I want to speak for just a little while on liberty. And the first thing that we notice about liberty is that God's view of liberty or freedom will be far different, more often than not, is far different than our view. We may look only for immediate temporary relief, but God really wants to give to us eternal freedom. I also want to advise us that there are many expressions of freedom, and just, a multitude of them. But the one I want to concentrate on this afternoon is healing for the body. And that is a real freedom that many would love to experience. There are so many of the saints that really are going through some tremendous physical difficulties at this time. And so I want to try and give a little instruction concerning that, because all of us dwell in this mortal body, and all of us have certain limitations and shortcomings and things of this nature that we battle against. But we are promised here healing. And the scripture is very plain with that. We'll not turn there, but if you want to take it down for reference, James 5:15 says this: "The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." You will notice it is the prayer of faith, as we read here, shall save the sick. And there are many critics. If you're not healed and anything happen, it just means you don't have any faith. And they blame people and everything else, the person that is sick as well as the one praying for him. But you will notice the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, this is also something that is very, very important for us to understand, because if we don't, if people do not understand, they can often become very, very judgmental. And some associate sickness and sin, and there is a definite connection, as we find here in this verse. But just because there is that relationship, it does not mean that anyone who is sick has sinned. Now, some people teach that, but that simply is not according to the scripture. We'll not turn there, but be sure and take down this reference, John 9, verses 1 to 3. That is where the disciples ask about that the blind man was, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither one of them. It happened so to magnify the mighty works of God. And so we must understand things from God's point of view and not judge people. It's not our place to judge people in such a manner as this. Another reference that you can put down here insofar as healing is concerned, it refers to a lot of things, but healing is one of them. Matthew 11:28 says it this way, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." In other words, I will give you freedom. I will give you liberty. And the only requirement there, come unto me. Come to me. I have the answer. I have the power. I have the wisdom to all of this. The next thing I want to notice is that there is a glorious reason for freedom from sin and iniquity and any other freedom that we might need. We will not turn there. But Isaiah, put it down, reference, Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 4, it says this, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." That's why, we'll go through the rest of these verses, but that's why that we can have the freedom, the rest that we do, is because Jesus has already borne it. He has already carried it to his cross. He has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken. And notice this. This is something that I, several years ago, studying this and reading about it, and you've heard the expression, it just blew me away. This is the part that really blew me away. He was smitten of God. God laid these things on him. How in the world could that be? But God did, and that's what the scripture says. God laid this on him. He was smitten of God. He was afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And this is another sad part. Sometimes people apply this, "You by his stripes you're healed." They apply that only to the body. It must be applied spirit, soul, and body, because God has provided a full redemption for mankind with what he did through Jesus there on the cross. And so we are, by his stripes, we are healed. And his stripes, just in passing, his stripes means he was wounded or he was tormented. And we can well see that. Verse 6 of that same chapter says this, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." Rebellion. This is what is involved here at this particular point, and why that we needed such freedom. We needed such deliverance. We needed the rest. So all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And notice, because of that, once again, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he has done exactly that, laying it all on Jesus. That's the only reason that we can be free of such things. And as we find out, if we continue here, this is our subject, that to set at liberty them that are bruised. I want to notice one great fact of healing. And I'm especially talking about the healing of the body now, because there's so many of God's people who are going through such severe tests in their body. But we need to understand, we need not only to understand, but to accept what God is doing. And the fact, one of the facts of healing is this. God will sacrifice the body if that will contribute to the spiritual development of soul and spirit. And so God may use our bodies as a sacrifice, just as he used Christ's body as a sacrifice. And it is important that we accept that and understand that. So you can compare that just for reference. 2 Peter 2:9 says this, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver." He certainly does. And you will notice here in this entire verse, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, but he also knows how to reserve the unjust to unto the day of judgment to be punished." This tells us that God deals with sinners differently than he does with saints. He knows how to deliver the believer out of temptation. But for the one who rejects him, the sinner, he simply reserves him unto the day of judgment. So God, in all of his wisdom, knows exactly how to deal with both the believer and indeed the unbeliever. I want to, when we're talking about, "He shall set at liberty them that are bruised." And I'm sure that people are going to be taking all of this down, but you can find, just look up the word bruised in Strong's Concordance, but and there are other concordances that will concur with that. But I just want to give the definition of the word bruise, because it means to crush. And if you go on with other words that stem from that, we find such language as this. It means to break, to wreck, to crack. It means to sunder. That means just to cut in pieces, separating parts. Sometimes that's kind of the way we feel. We're just separated into parts and wonder how in the world you put them all back together. It also signifies shattering to minute fragments. That's another of this just total crushing and annihilation, only we are not annihilated. It is a matter then of just simply breaking or bursting, rending, tearing. All of these define the little word bruise that we are talking about. And so he will set at liberty them that are bruised. Finally, in this message, since we're talking about especially healing for the body, emphasizing that, enlarging on that, the real healing for the body will only come when the body is glorified. Now, if God heals us of a sickness now, that's only a partial healing. Now, we are grateful for it, believe me, because it's an end of suffering and things like that. But God knows how to deliver. I thought of those that the Lord decides to take home. Did you know that's actually a healing? And the reason is because we have to admit they're no longer suffering. They're no longer going through those things. So that the very death of that person is, at least in part, a healing, because he has been set free, set at liberty them that are bruised. He has been set liberty, his body lying in the grave, but he's no longer suffering it. He's no longer going through that misery and all of these things. So that indeed would be a healing when you look at it from God's point of view. Again, I emphasize the real healing that God has in mind, the full provision for the healing that God has in mind will come when the body is glorified. So turn with me to Philippians 3. And I'm going to notice what the Apostle Paul says about this. Philippians 3:20. And Paul tells these Philippians, and these were the same as the Macedonian saints. They were overcoming believers. They were among the elite believers like those in Thessalonica. And so in Philippians 3:20 we read, our conversation. And the word conversation doesn't mean talking back and forth to one another. Our conversation simply indicates our manner of life. That's what he's talking about, the way we live our lives. Our conversation, manner of life, is in heaven. Now, we're on the earth, but we must have that heavenly perspective and just block out the things of the world. That takes some doing at times, but nevertheless, we cannot be influenced to evil because of the happenings in our world. So our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body? And that word vile has more of an indication. Who shall change our body of humiliation? Doesn't mean vile as being corrupt and something of that nature. It's just a lowly body, a humiliated body, a lowly body, without strength, we might say. So who shall change our body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, or more correctly, his body of glory. And of course, we are talking about his resurrected body, which has been made absolutely perfect. And notice again, it is according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. You and I will never, ever, ever glorify our own body. That is going to be up to God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he is going to do that in due time. We'll not turn to this one, but put it down for reference. 1 John 3:2. It says this, beloved, now are we the sons of God. This is something that all believers absolutely must realize right now. That's what John says, behold now. And it means at this present time, we are the sons of God, or we are the children of God. And John says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what the glorified body looks like. We really don't. And so it doesn't appear what we shall be, but there's those little words again. We know. How can he say we know? Only because of God's word. That's all we know is what the word of God says. And so we know, we have appropriated that, we have that kind of confidence in God's word. We know that when he shall appear, and he will, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he is especially talking about the glorified body. Now, we know that we shall be like him in spirit and soul too. We're going to have the same desires. We have his righteousness, all of these various things. But he is especially speaking of the body here, that we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so I say for the benefit of all of us that this, the glorified body, is going to be the ultimate healing of the body. It will be absolutely perfect at that particular time. And we certainly are looking for that day, but until then, we simply wait and abide by God's decisions for our own lives. All right, shall we sing?